Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popovich. How you doing?
Well, I'm good.
You had to think about that one, eh?
I did have to think about it. I've got very few complaints, but it was an interesting week in the market. Let's just talk a little bit. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about what's coming up on the show today, my friend, because we get a lot of questions about the Canada Pension Plan, the CPP. It's a big range of questions, but have you actually wondered ever how it works?
I don't think many Canadians, job, I have no life, but the average Canadian doesn't think about how it actually works. They just look at the statement that says how much they're going to get.
Right. There were some changes made in 97. There's some more changes coming. The amount that we're paying into CPP is increasing. We're going to educate you a little bit about how the Canada Pension Plan works in today's show. We're also going to try to help you get the most out of your tax returns. We're getting late in the day on tax season, so this will be of interest.
Have you done your taxes?
No, I never.
You wait till the last day, don't you?
Well, no, I don't wait till the last day, but we get, lots of different pieces don't come in until right about now.
Yeah.
So I don't rush to get it done because I know there's going to be.
That's what I was going to say, because I haven't finished my, or completed mine yet, because there are some tax receipts that are still coming in. And so I believe the next week will be the last week, and then I jump into it. So
yeah, that's
interesting.
Right.
Okay.
That's a whole different show we can do on why.
Way to do it.
Why all that stuff comes in late.
The accountants don't like that answer when I say do it in the last week, because they get bombarded with all the paperwork at that point in time, but that's unfortunate.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened in the markets. War, my friend. War. I was on record this week talking about officially declaring it a war. Now, it's to be clear.
It's a war of?
Words.
Oh, okay. Some thought to start Googling North Korea.
That's right.
Some thought trade war.
But sure, there's a guarantee. This is a war of words, my man.
Yeah, and I don't know how much people have been reading up on in history what's happened when it comes to trade wars. Kind of give an overview that right now the trade dispute,
yep.
I'll call it, versus
yep.
a war.
I'm going to just call it a negotiation at this point.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's very nice of you, actually. Mm-hmm. I still call it a dispute because you don't. Anyway, the point is that, when Trump followed up after his steel and aluminum issues and the Chinese imports, then he raises the amount and China's going back and say, we're going to put tariffs on these ones. And, when you look at the threats on tariffs on Harley Davidson motorcycles, think about the location of where those the plants are on that, and who and bourbon and jeans,
agricultural and products, Iowa, Texas being dragged in. Where
this
who,
is
where's
more political than it is economic, because when you target those industries, you're going after the base of Donald Trump and his supporters.
Right.
But when you look back at history, and I think one part was when I think it was King William, he imposed tariffs in the UK on French brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
and
so uncivilized.
I know. What a guy. Anyways, the reason for that, he also decriminalized or allowed unlicensed gin production in the country.
Right.
So what he was trying to do is prevent the imports and stimulate his own economy. What happened there is for the next 50 years, Britain just loved their gin. Overindulgence, let's call it that way. A surge in crime and so forth, they attribute to the gin issue. But who were the winners from that?
Right.
Who were the winners? Well, you
I'm a gin.
You're
like
a gin drinker. So
I won.
You've benefited from that. The individual companies inside the UK benefited, but it became an unproductive or inefficient operation.
Right.
There is no benefit for that companies or those companies at that time to increase on their technology, the efficiencies,
right.
the bottom line stays, because you're basically monopolizing the area.
Right.
And so what happens at some point in the future, you can hold risk with your businesses, which will then lead to major layoffs.
Right.
You're not increasing the knowledge and the educational base of your employees and of the citizens. It does have a problem with this. So I think, although you like the fact that you won with gin, many people in the UK lost jobs,
of course,
over the longer period
you
of time. So this is a risk. And this has been a risk I've been talking out for about a while. Like, I'd say a year.
Yep.
And I've been saying if this is where we're going down the path of trade war, I can understand firing across a shot across the bow just to kind of warn people is what I think Trump is doing. But if it turns into a trade war, there is going to be a bigger swing in the market than what we've seen already.
Sure there is.
Right? We have seen 1,000-point swings close to on the Dow Jones.
Yeah.
We have seen 5% swings in a day in the markets in the U.S. These are the kind of things that we have to be concerned about, because we have been away from volatility, I'd say, for almost 3 years now.
That's right.
And now it's hitting us in the face and we forget about it. And so think about what your portfolio is doing because of that. Is your portfolio able to stress test these types of issues? And what's the downside issue in the event we do go through a trade war on your portfolio? And if you're a do-it-yourself investor, you better calculate that. If you're not and you're having an advisor, ask your advisor.
Mm-hmm.
What's the downside on my portfolio in the event that this thing gets even more of a conflict, an actual trade war, than you say discussion, I say trade dispute?
Well, I think it's a negotiation. I mean, it's interesting to watch the trading, as you said, the volatility in the markets being driven entirely by the rhetoric at this point. And I get it. I mean, market participants are trying to form their own thesis about where they think this thing is going to end up. And ultimately, you've been harping about protectionism for, as you said, at least a year now. I mean, it might even be longer than that. And this is, you know, this is signs of that. Now, I'm going to be interested to see. Lots of indications are that the U.S. is softening its stance, making some progress on NAFTA. I'll be curious to see over the course of the next week or so if we get some language, some dialogue around progress made there. I'll be curious to see if Trump really, the administration, wants to fight trade wars on every single front, with Europe, with China, with Canada, with Mexico, with everybody. Or is this negotiating posture? That's really what we're trying to figure out. Now, we're also going to get into earnings season in a couple of weeks. So, yeah. You know, in the
this
absence,
is going to be fun. Yeah. I am really, really looking forward to this, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Everything that's going on in the markets from volatility does not mean a thing if the fundamentals don't change of a company.
Right.
If they're still able to sell. Right. I'm hearing in the backgrounds this week, people saying sell Apple, but go to Applebee's, because Apple sells to China. Applebee's doesn't sell to
right,
China.
Right.
And I'm hearing all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's not the way you're supposed to look at it. That's simple. It is a bigger issue.
Right.
I remember tariffs and trade war back in the 30s impacted American farmers initially. They made the tariffs go from, I believe it was 890 tariffs to well over 20,000 tariffs. Canada and the Europeans basically had a trade war against the U.S. in 1934. That led up to the Great Depression.
Yep.
I'm not saying that's the cause only of the Great Depression, but that was the run-up. I don't know if we're going to go through a Great Depression because we're so globalized, but any kind of increase in tariffs could have a major impact on recession.
Yeah, it could. And here's the complexity of this thing. And you know, thank you for the history lesson going back. I don't know, a couple of hundred, 500 years to few hundred years to, you know, 70 or 80 years.
What are you going to do in minus 25 degree weather? Except for read this stuff.
You
right?
really don't have a life. But
I
thank
don't.
You for that.
I
it
don't.
Was awesome.
Yes, thanks. Thanks.
But think about the complexity of the global environment right now. You know, I was talking about this week on the radio about with Gordon and Ange about take the Trump administration's passing of their major piece of legislation, which is tax reform. Some of that tax reform is on personal tax reform, and some of that money that people get as a result of tax savings they're going to spend. Okay, so on the one hand, we expect it to be stimulative. But if people are going to spend it and going to go to local businesses that import goods from, say, China, okay, this is going to actually exacerbate the import problem.
Yeah, but don't forget, the tariff issue doesn't come into play into the economy for months.
Oh, no, I agree. That's why I think it's a negotiation.
The tax refund is happening now.
Correct.
Right? So there's a lag between the two.
But
so if you spend your money right away, it's going to hit the economy right away. If you spend your money 6 months to a year from now, that's when those tariffs could take an issue.
Oh, but I'm not even saying that. What I'm saying is if you spend it right now, we're going to see that trade deficit with China continue to increase because they export a lot of product to the U.S., right? So it's interesting. So on the one hand, he's taking steps that will ultimately lead to an increase in the trade deficit with many countries that they import from. On the other hand, we're fighting a trade war on every single front, saying, hey, we've got these problems.
Yeah.
And I only point that out to say this: the globalization is going to be a very, very difficult thing to reverse, right? The economies of the world are so interconnected today, as you said, it's not as simple as saying, I'm going to apply a tariff here and I get gin, you know, out the other end. It's not that simple.
Here's where I think Trump might have made a mistake. I think by not being part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, mm-hmm. where he's got one of other 11 other partners that can put pressure on China,
right.
he's now being the lone gunslinger,
right.
right? Which causes a big problem because right. now it's TPP versus Trump.
Right.
Now it's because they're all unified together. Now right. it's the Canadian and the Europeans.
Right.
Canadian and Mexican right. versus Trump. Right. That's not a good spot to be in with if you're the largest economic superpower and dwindling.
Right. And U.S. business is concerned. Let's make no mistake about that. U.S. business is concerned. So, Faisal, I think the takeaway here is that this is only a war of words at this point. We have a couple of months before anything actually happens, and we'll see what that dialogue continues to be and what the negotiated outcome is. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about how to position in light of all this uncertainty, because we all still have lives
yeah.
as we retire, and we need to support those lifestyles.
And there's a five-pillar investment strategy approach that we take on that actually helps and protects and grows during these types of market conditions. And we'll talk about that on Tuesday, April 17th, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine and Spirits. Now you need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400, 966-8400, or go to our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
We want to educate you a little bit about how the Canada Pension Plan works. Stick around for that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.